I'm Zach.
And I'm Josh.
And this is Lamp Stomp, a Pixar podcast. Josh, we are back.
Big time back.
We are back, and it has been, I think, like maybe 4 years since I tried to go and do the hyperdrive, and we went around the little planet and came back, and it's been 4 years since we've done a podcast, right? Is that what happened in the movie we're talking about today?
I mean, it felt like 4 seconds for me. I don't know about you.
So I think it's funny that we say we're back every time we have a podcast, even though we're only gone realistically like a few days for us, and maybe like most of the time like a week or two at the most for actually coming out. But this time it's real. We're back after a long like 2 month break, and we've been recording some podcasts and getting things ready to kind of relaunch Lamp Stomp a little bit. And we want to do that with what we have today. We have we have our podcast for Lightyear, the new Pixar movie that came out this last week. And we are so excited to bring this to you. So full disclosure, this will be very spoiler heavy. Like if you have not seen Lightyear yet, maybe go watch it first and then come listen to what we have going on, because we have both watched it. We're going to be talking about it to its extent.
I've never thought about being like, yeah, we should probably say a spoiler alert, because we're usually doing old movies. There's a spoiler alert. Like the very next thing we're going to do is tell you the entire story.
Exactly. I will literally explain the movie in like 2 minutes. So as soon as you hear, Ernesto De La Cruz sing Remember Me. If you've not watched the movie, you might need want to jet.
Probably don't want to listen to any of this podcast if you haven't watched the movie.
And so we were very excited to jump back in. Josh, what would it be like to have these time skips? It's part of what's going on in the movie, but like, how would you react to missing a 4 year or maybe even longer chunk of your life?
Me being Buzz or me being somebody who watched Buzz leave and come back?
Ah, that's a good point. Maybe both. Go with Buzz.
It would probably be pretty hard to stay attached to people.
For sure.
You see him detach. And then from being on the other side, I'd be like, you barely view the person that keeps leaving as like a friend. Like we all have friends that drift apart. Like people that I was like really good friends with in high school, I don't remember the last time I talked to them. And it's kind of like that. I was like, that was a few years ago. Like if they just showed up, I wouldn't be like, hey, I'd be like, look the other way.
Right. That would be so incredibly tough to just miss 4 years. It's not even 4 years of your life. It's like 4 years of everyone else's life. So it's definitely weird. Why don't we go ahead and just hop into talking about this movie? We both want to do it. Let's just hop right in and get to our Remember Me section.
Remember me.
Josh, we start the movie in a very interesting way. And I knew this was how they were going to frame this movie, but to see it in the theater and see it on the big screen, the framing device used in this movie is honestly just so good. So it comes up with like almost kind of, it was very reminiscent of like a Star Wars, like kind of framing of the movie. It basically says in 1995, a young Andy Davis from Toy Story fame had a movie that just kind of inspired the events of Toy Story 1. And this movie was that movie. So we are watching a movie that a character from a movie watched, and it's a really interesting concept. And it's like, okay, so Andy went to watch this movie. That's why he liked Buzz Lightyear so much. That's why he wanted a toy, and that's why the events of Toy Story 1 happened. So that's where we're at. All right. So we open up on this very interesting, like, alien planet, and we see that Buzz Lightyear is a space ranger, and he is going and he is checking out this new location, and he's with a friend. Alicia Hawthorne is kind of his partner in crime, and they have to just basically explore this planet. I'm not really sure. I don't know that it says exactly why they're exploring the planet, but they're just kind of exploring the planet. And definitely just to see, I guess, to see if it's habitable and just kind of see what it is. Takani Prime, I think, is the name of it. And so they're just doing that. And Buzz is kind of monologuing about he's the guy that, just like in Toy Story, he's the guy that talks to his mission logs. And I think Hawthorne actually makes fun of him at one point for doing that. But it's kind of a funny thing that he likes to do. And one thing we learn about Buzz in this scene is that he does not like working with rookies. He does not like working with the people that aren't as experienced. He likes working with Hawthorne some, but when it introduces their new recruit, Feathering Hampston, I think is how you actually would say it. I'm not sure. It's kind of a long name that they make fun of. He
basically says, "Fly home, buddy. I work alone."
Right. And so they're just exploring this, and then all, like, out of nowhere, these vines come and start taking the rookie. And then they notice that their big, like, onion looking spaceship is actually sinking into the earth. And so they just go DEFCON 9, and they're like, oh my gosh, we have to get back to the thing. Like, we have to figure out what's going on. We have to save the rookie. So they are doing that, and they're just trying to get off this planet because they see that it's hostile, and they're just like, oh my gosh, we have to get back to the ship. So they finally get back to the ship, and Buzz is freaking out. He's like, we have to get off this planet. We have to do it. We have to do it. We have to do it. And he zooms. He takes the lead on the ship, and he is trying to get them out, and he's like barely lifting up at all, and he's like trying to get up, and people are offering him help, and he's like, no, I work alone. And he's trying to get up, and tries to get up, but like right at the last second, the spaceship hits the top of this like this rock mountain, and basically crash lands the ship. And they realize that not only are they crash landed, but they have destroyed their only means of hyperspace fuel, which is detrimental to their mission of getting everyone home safely. And it's pretty bad. And so they set up camp, and they're like, okay, here's what we need to do. We need to test out some hyperspace fuel, and this will be how we get off the planet. And so Buzz is all about, the Space Ranger Corps is all about finishing the mission. So doing everything that they can to finish the mission. And that's what Buzz is all about as well. And so he is like, okay, here's what's going to happen. I will go out and I will test the fuel. And they basically have this thing where they go around this other planet and try to slingshot back. And that's how they are testing the fuel. And so the first test, Buzz goes out and he realizes that, He's doing it, but it doesn't really work. And he's about to go off course and basically be stuck in space forever. But he does this awesome maneuver and doesn't have that happen. And he gets back and he's like, darn, that failed, but at least I'm okay. And then he starts seeing people and noticing that they are freaking out that he's back. And he's like, oh, what happened? Like, what's going on? He sees that the guy that sent him off had a goatee, and like, 4 minutes earlier, he didn't have a goatee. And so he's like, what is happening? How is that possible? And he noticed, and he gets told that he has been, even though it only feels like 4 minutes, he has been gone for 4 whole years. And 4 years have passed on Takani Prime due to the effects of something called time dilation. They explain it in the movie. They explain that because he was going so fast and relative speeds and science garble, I don't really understand it, but essentially because he's going so fast, time moves slower for him, so he only felt 4 minutes while the rest of his friends and stuff went for 4 years. And so he is trying to re-talk to all his friends and all the people. He sees Hawthorne and realizes that she's had a kind of a life. She's engaged and she just has this life with someone, and is realizing that he missed out on a good chunk of all of these people's lives. And so he gets back to his room and he is introduced to Socks. This is like a robot feline that is kind of like a just a little cat, super cute, and it is basically an emotional support animal. Is kind of why they give it to him, to make sure that he's okay because of the time dilation and obviously coming back into a traumatic like loss of 4 years of his life with people. And so he's talking with Socks and he's kind of annoyed that Socks is there, and he tells Socks to just leave him alone and basically just says continue testing the hyperspatial, like that's how you can be helpful. So Buzz gets it in his mind that he is going to continue to test these fuels. It's so important to him that he definitely needs to just keep testing these fuels to get these people off, because he wants to do the mission, he wants to be able to do it. And so he keeps testing, and I'm not sure exactly how many times he actually does test it, but he tests it. And all of these times he's missing out on life. And it's kind of, we see a montage of Hawthorne's life, really kind of fast forward. We see that she's starting to grow a family and she got pregnant and she had a kid. And then it eventually goes to where her kid is grown and now he's a space ranger. And then it goes to where they have a granddaughter, and it's just like her life is passing while Buzz is trying to figure out this fuel. And it eventually gets to the point to where Buzz goes to see Hawthorne, but actually just goes into a empty room. The only thing that's there is the desk. And then there's a note on the desk that basically says for Buzz. And it's like a video of Hawthorne basically saying, I'm about to die. And it's still two or more years before you're actually coming back. And so I just wanted to say goodbye. And we see that Buzz realizes, wow, this really kind of stinks. Like that's so bad. And so while he's kind of grieving that moment of losing his partner and losing just everything that he had built up until then, as far as a relationship with someone that he trusted, somebody new comes in. Commander Burnside comes in and says, Buzz, we are done. We're not going to be testing anymore. We're going to stay here. We're going to build this huge wall around our town. And that is how we're going to stay safe from all the elements of this planet. And we're just going to basically put up shop here. We're done trying to get back to Earth. We're just going to live here now. And Buzz is not about that, but he decides to go back to his room. And when he gets back to his room, he realizes that for 62 years that he has just let Socks be by himself. He didn't really pay much attention to him. And Socks is basically like, yeah, it's been a while since you've been here to talk to me. I kind of missed you. And Buzz is like, okay, well, what have you been up to this whole time? And apparently Socks has been up to figuring out the best way to actually have hyperspace fuel. Socks has figured it out. And so Buzz is like, this is great. Let's go tell everyone. And when he is kind of excited about it, he basically gets a knock at the door, and it is some kind of security basically being like, okay, we're here to take Socks back. You don't need him anymore. And so we're just going to take him back. We need to put him in this cage. And Buzz is like, well, at least let me do it. And so Buzz takes the thing, and all of a sudden we hear this glass breaking, and Buzz escapes from his room, and Buzz finds an aircraft that he wants to use, and he's like, okay, I'm gonna attempt this, and everyone's gonna be awesome, we figured it out. And so he does escape with the aircraft that he essentially stole. And we see that he goes, and guess what? The hyperspace fuel works, and he is able to reach full hyperspace, and he goes back, and he is so excited to tell everyone. But he basically goes back, and he sees when he goes back that life is way, way different on Takani Prime. There is so much development and all kinds of things, and the big bubble that he, Commander Burnside talked about earlier is set up, and so he lands, and he just notices that that's a lot different. And so he's walking around trying to figure out what's going on, where he can go, all that, when I don't remember exactly what happened in this moment, but he basically comes into contact with someone that's basically saying, like, hey, like, stop being so loud, like, come with me if you want to, like, live, like, come with me if you want to be safe. And so he goes with this person, and eventually it comes to be that the person that he went with was Hawthorne's adult granddaughter, Izzy Hawthorne. And he basically figures out that not 4 years past this time, but a whole 22 years has passed since he has been on Takani Prime. And so there is so many different things that have happened. And so he goes with Izzy to, like, their little station, and he meets some recruits, and they basically come up with this plan of Operation Surprise Party. And they decide that they are going to, because they had to come up with this plan, because basically this big, huge spaceship and these evil robots have kind of taken over. And that is why they had to set up the bubble in the first place, is to protect themselves from the evil robots. And so they go and they start talking about their plan. But when one of the robots attacks, Buzz seems to find out that even though these three look the part, they actually have zero training between the three of them. And in awesome Pixar fashion, who does Buzz have to figure out how to work with? Rookies, the people that he despises and does not like. And so we have in this group, we have Izzy, which is, like I said, Hawthorne's adult granddaughter. We have Mo Morrison, a fresh recruit, and he is scared of his own shadow. He is not just not good. And then we have Darby Steele, who is an elderly person who is basically only here because they're on parole. They are a convict, and so he's like, there's no way I can work with these people, and it's just not good. But like I said, the robot was attacking, and they actually defeated this robot seemingly, and kind of got away, and they are like, okay, we've got to figure something out. And so they make this new plan about going to get a spaceship so they can go up to the bigger spaceship and basically save the day. And so they go, and Buzz is like, okay, you guys are going to drive me there, but then we're done. But once he gets into where the Buzz Lightyear looking suits are, we see that they have actually followed him in, and there's tons of these, like, bug creatures that they have to fight, and they barely get away in the spaceship. And so they're in the spaceship, but something happens to where the spaceship is crash lands, and they have to find a piece of the spaceship to fix it. And so they have to go to this big mining facility, and they go to this mining facility, and they're trying to figure it out, but the robots are still attacking. And even at this place, this evil Emperor Zurg looking guy comes, and he is like, Buzz, I need you to come with me. And Buzz barely escapes, and just, it's just not happening. And so they finally escape with the piece. But as they are going back to their ship, they encounter tons and tons of robots, and they're barely fighting them off. But right at the last second, right as they're about to get to the ship, Buzz gets taken by one of the robots, because they have, like, these, like, teleportation devices, which would be handy, honestly. but they have these teleportation devices that takes them right back to the main part of the ship. And so these three that were left behind on Takani Prime, they're like, Buzz, we have to do something, but there's nothing we can do. The spaceship doesn't work. The piece was destroyed. Like, there's nothing we can do. And so all the while that Buzz is kind of up in the spaceship and he is talking to this Zerg fellow, and it comes the time to reveal who Zerg is. And honestly, because we watched Toy Story 2, we're thinking, oh, this is potentially Buzz's dad, which would have been weird to introduce Buzz's dad at this point. But it is not Buzz's dad, but it is in fact, dun, 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 it's Buzz himself. Weird sciencey things, remember? It is Buzz himself, and he is older, and he is more experienced, and he is trying to figure out this life. It is Buzz, and he says, basically, a complete alternate life happened for this Buzz, where he basically landed, but people were trying to attack him because he stole the ship. So he goes away, and he finds this new planet where he basically enslaves these robots and comes back to try and save the day. So this Buzz is trying to basically reset everything that happened in the last, I guess at this point, 80 years. While our Buzz is trying to grapple with the fact that he would have his original Hawthorne back, but so much of the life that she lived on this planet would be just gone in the instant. Gone in an instant. And so Buzz realizes that he can't let that happen, so he has to fight Zerg, essentially. Back on the planet, Izzy sees that one of the teleportation devices that that the robots were using was on their ship. And so she goes, she hits it, and they are now on the planet. Not on the planet, they're on the spaceship. And so they're trying to save Buzz, and Izzy, I forgot to say this earlier, but Izzy is afraid of space, which is kind of funny for someone who wants to be a space ranger. And so she has to basically fly through space to save Buzz, and she does so, and she gets there, and basically she gets to Buzz. They're all together. They've been fighting robots. It's this really cool kind of series of scenes where they're all using their strengths to fight these robots and fight Zerg. And they finally get a plane that they decide that they are going to take back to the planet. And they're going down, but basically they're kind of, I can't remember if they crashed or if they're just kind of going really fast, and there's like flames all over it. And Buzz like gets out of the spaceship and tries to like push back the ship that they're on. But then Zerg comes and he's fighting Zerg in like space, and it's this really awesome, amazing sci-fi scene. And he pushes his Buzz Lightyear spacesuit or whatever, and his wings come out and his laser's there, and he says, "Not today, Zerg," and he fights a Zerg, and he wins, and he basically helps the spaceship get back down to the planet. They have defeated Zerg, and they are able to go back to the main section of the planet and basically tell Burnside, say, "Hey, we got rid of this guy, everything's safe." And Burnside basically he arrests Buzz, but he basically says, "I actually want you to be the Space Ranger Corps here on this planet. I know that was your job back then, but now I want it to be you." And he basically says, "You can have your pick of any of these amazing soldiers." But Buzz is like, "No, I've already got my team." He picks Izzy, Moe, and Darby, and Sox to basically form the core of this organization. They get these brand new suits that look identical to the Buzz Lightyear toy, and they're awesome. And that's kind of how the movie ends. They're going on their first adventure to the Gamma Quadrant of Sector 4 that Buzz talks so much about in Toy Story. And then we see in a couple of post-credit scenes, which hasn't really happened a whole lot. Do you even know about this, Josh? Do you know there's three post-credit scenes? Josh doesn't even know about the post-credit scenes.
I'm like, this isn't a Marvel movie. I'm not home.
No, you should have stayed, bro. I'm forgetting one of them for some reason. I don't. I can't remember one of them, so I'm sorry. But one of them is basically it's nothing. It's Burnside, he's sitting at his desk and like one of those fly like bug looking things hits the big bubble and he goes, ha, laser shields. And that's literally it. So it's useless. But the one at the very end, we see the wreckage of space from Zerg's ship, and we see Zerg just kind of floating in space. And then what do we see? Some lights flickering in his face, like face thing. And then we see the last scene of this shot is Zerg's lights, eye lights coming on. And we realize that Zerg has survived the explosion. Bum, bum, bum. Potentially making way for a sequel. Who knows? So that's Lightyear, man. What you got?
Lightyear is a 2022 Pixar movie. No surprise to anyone listening recently. It had a budget of $200 million, and in the box office it has made so far, $91.7 million.
Yeah,
going down I think for like a week.
At the very least, it'll get over that $200 million. Fairly easy. Yeah, that's just I one think weekend. That
it,
will.
It was directed by Angus McLean, and Angus co-directed Finding Dory. Was kind of a part of the Buzz Lightyear movie, the old one.
So here's a little bit. I watched. I told you I watched the like documentary thing that they have on Disney Plus, which is really cool. You should go back and watch it now. I told you not to watch it because it kind of spoiled the whole time jump thing for me. But essentially, Angus McLean came on to Pixar way back in the day, in between Toy Story 1 and Toy Story 2, and basically he was in charge of updating Buzz's look as technology got better. And so he was the guy that basically creatively and technically like designed Buzz Lightyear throughout the movies. Obviously it's the same character. It's very similar, but obviously the jump from Toy Story 1 to Toy Story 2 was pretty good animation wise. And then Toy Story 2 to Toy Story 3, even more so. And then 3 to 4 as well. And so he was kind of like the Buzz guy in Pixar. He was basically in charge of designing Buzz. And so that's why he's so involved with this movie, obviously with Buzz.
That makes sense. I read something that he said he was in charge of CG for Buzz in that movie. So that makes sense. But it was funny because on his Wikipedia, it lists him as like partially involved in that movie. On that movie's Wikipedia, he's nowhere to be found. I was like, questionable. So I'm glad to know that. And he was involved in a lot of other movies, but he wasn't like heavily involved. He was just like an additional person. So that's Angus. And then music was by Michael Giacchino. He's solid as always. And the really only notable actor is Chris Evans. Everybody else, like, no one's like huge. Kiki Palmer does really well, not like crazy big. Chris Evans is huge.
Taika Waititi is Taika Waititi is Mo, which is pretty good.
Ah, yeah. No one's bad. Chris Evans was just a very specific choice.
No.
And reading quotes, Angus said that Tim Allen's version of Buzz was a little goofier and a little dumber, and so he's the comic relief. But in this film, Buzz is the action hero. He's serious, ambitious, and funny, but not in a goofy way that would undercut the drama. So that's why he went with Chris Evans. And Evans was the only choice that they ever had, or he was the only person they ever wanted. They brought him in and offered it to him. And he took it, and there was no one that they ever considered for Buzz other than Chris Evans. Rotten Tomatoes. It has an audience score of 85 and a critic score of 76.
Exactly. That went down. When I was looking at it the other day before it came out, it was at 82, 83 or something like that.
So it's fluctuating. That's not it'll keep changing probably for the next year before it kind of fully settles.
Right,
but that's where it is as of right now.
Interesting. I'm ready to dig into this movie. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to hop into making our mark. Let's go ahead and do so.
You've got to earn your mark by doing something big for something bigger than yourself. Someday you'll all make your mark, and I can't wait to see it.
General Attraction. What do you have for General Attraction?
I've got a 9. I was super excited for this movie. What about you?
Me too. It was a 10. For being what it is, just kind of like an action movie about Buzz Lightyear, which is a cool concept just in general, but also being Pixar's first movie back in theaters in 3 years or 2 years rather, is honestly huge for General Attraction. So I was amped on last Thursday when I went to go watch this movie. And so, yeah, for sure, 10 out of 10. Could have even been 11. I won't do that just because I know you hate it, but I was so amped for this movie for sure. Plot. I gave the plot a 10. And here's why. It's probably not the best story that Pixar has, but it's so different than anything Pixar has done because they delved into the sci-fi plot. I felt like this movie, if you said, hey, check out this sci-fi movie, it would be one of the best sci-fi movies created. Like it's just got that same plot that sci-fi movies do have. But the beats of Pixar was there. It has a fun twist surprise in the climax of the movie. And honestly, it's a fun ride the entire time. So I gave it a 10. What about you?
I gave the plot a 5.
Yikes, man. I don't know about that.
I have one very serious problem with the plot. And it's that it's not possible. And it's not that it's impossible because it's sci-fi and you want impossible in sci-fi. It's that they explain it with science and it doesn't work. It doesn't work like that. I wish that it had just been ambiguous, but the whole idea of the movie is not even possible. Time dilation is like an actual scientific phenomenon. Like I don't understand it that much, but I understand it enough to know that it doesn't work that way. So basically
I'm going to bounce back on that. So watch the documentary, because they actually brought in like teams and teams of scientists to make sure they got it right.
I might need to watch it, but I'm going to stick with,
yeah, go ahead. Stick with what you got. But
okay. So I will need to watch that, but for the time being, I'll explain at least as much as I know.
Sure.
From my understanding of it, why it shouldn't be possible, because they use, if as far as I can tell, they don't explain how the time travel works except by using time dilation, which essentially is saying that time and space, they're linked together, and when you move through space so quickly, when you're moving through space at ridiculous speeds, like when you're moving faster, you're actually moving through time faster, and the speeds at which we go in planes and most rockets and stuff, like that's inconsequential to like messing with like the time that it takes for you to walk down the street. It's not different enough. But when you're getting into like light speed, you're moving through space so quickly that time is moving at a very different rate from what other people are. That's why when Buzz is going through the time trials, it's only taking him 4 years. But then when he actually gets it right and he gets fully up to light speed, it takes 20 something years. So they use that explanation as to say, well, we'll just, the new Buzz is basically putting the thrusters in reverse. And it's like, you're just moving it. Time dilation just changes the way you move through time. It doesn't let you manipulate the direction you're going.
So you're not saying the originality of time dilation. You're saying the old Buzz, his plan to reverse time to get back to the beginning.
His ability to get to Buzz.
Sure. Okay.
Shouldn't be possible. Time dilation is a thing, but what it is a manipulation of the rate in which you're moving through time. It's not the direction you're moving in time. You can't go backwards with time dilation.
Yeah,
I can move forward at a different rate than you, but I can't go backwards.
Sure.
So like I can go so fast or so slow, but like I can't, it's just, that's what my issue is, that it's like saying I want the odometer in my car to go down, so I'm going to put it in reverse and drive everywhere that way. Like you're still moving forward, just in a different direction. Like it doesn't work. So
I that's get my what you're saying. I do want to push back on the fact that, like, yo, bro, this is a sci-fi movie. Like things work differently in a sci-fi
they just
movie.
Use science to explain it is the problem. They shouldn't have used an actual thing. So that's my biggest issue, and it kind of kept coming back to the front. And so that there's a couple other fun little, like, I'm gonna be like, that's dumb. Like the fact that he didn't have a laser and wings, even though that's like his staple, that was like, come on, just give it to him. Like let him have the button and just never use them. I wish that they would have done that. It's not enough for it to take it down any points. There is one other, like, wait a second moment that I had that was also not that big of a deal, but like at the very end, you know, the robot with one arm.
Yeah.
How it comes back and attacks someone on the planet. I like, wasn't the whole idea that once you blew up the ship, the robots weren't going to work anymore. Kind of like in Star Wars episode one, where you blow up the ship and all of a sudden all the robots just drop. Well, that robot keeps going. It's just a minor thing, but it just point. I was like, that's dumb.
All right.
Josh. And it just basically means that their whole plan wouldn't have worked.
Right.
Yeah, the rookies plan wouldn't have worked. Surprisingly, they didn't have great intel.
Right. All right, Josh, let's move on to themes. What you got for themes?
Themes, I've got like an 8. Actually, I didn't write it down, but I'm thinking through it. I'm not missing that one. I'd say like an 8. It's really focusing on the importance of not being so self-driven and so self-focused that you like are stuck pushing everybody away. He does it. He's that way in general at the beginning. He pushes everybody away. And then he even starts going through a maneuver that even more pushes people away because he's barely going to see them. So it's especially imperative that he learns how to work with people. And then the whole story, the way that it slowly develops for him to work with people was really cool. I enjoyed it. What about you?
So I gave it a 9. Some of those same themes that people are important, like you need people. That's kind of Pixar's maybe biggest one. I think what we found throughout their catalog is that you need people. And Buzz definitely has to figure that out. But the one that I like the best is just kind of realizing that the present is the most important time. Don't dwell on the past. And in even this movie, kind of don't dwell in the future, but just kind of live in the present and enjoy the people that you have with you right now, I think is a really cool theme as well for this movie. So, all right, animation. I gave animation a 10, and this movie looks gorgeous. I think it just everything about it. It looks like a movie that is just, honestly, it's some of Pixar's best work. I think it's different because it's like in space. But I find it interesting that Pixar for the last few movies have been going in a different direction in some ways. But then this one kind of course corrects a little bit. Not to say those movies were bad animation wise, but it kind of course corrects to some of Pixar's best in my opinion.
I gave animation a 10 as well, because I also don't really love the verging out there overly creative animation styles. Not bad, I just don't like them. I do like this, and I love everything about it. It's hyper realistic. The people aren't creepy and weird. They're still going to look a little bit, they're going to look animated, but they look animated in a good way. And then everything around them always looks absolutely amazing. And I was, in some of the interviews I was reading, that was kind of what their goal was, to go very hyper realistic. Everything was supposed to look more real. Buzz was supposed to look less like a toy and more like an action hero. And so they absolutely nailed it, from the characters to the terrain to space. It was just all absolutely stunning.
For sure. All right, voice acting. What you got for voice acting?
I have voice acting as a 7. Yeah, stick with 7. Because though Chris Evans does really well. I think that they had two, like they had two strikes in this movie. They had not just one chance to cast Tim Allen as their Buzz, who is Buzz and should always be Buzz. They had two opportunities. Like they, I don't understand a world where they don't cast him as the older Buzz, because he could have fit that role really well. And it would have been really incredible, like as like a viewer and a fan, for it to be like, yeah, Chris Evans is doing well. Like he's doing Buzz well and I'm enjoying it, but I still miss the original Buzz. And then when old Buzz gets out and it's Tim Allen, it would have been absolutely perfect. And I think the main reason, I know they said it was because he was goofy, I think the main reason is Tim Allen's a lot older. He's not going to sound like as young as Buzz is, but he would have fit an older Buzz look. And so I think that was the huge swing and miss. Everyone else does really well. They're all fun. Nobody's like standout, incredible. But I really hate that they had the chance to cast him. They didn't. I understand why they did for the first one, but I really don't get why they did for the second one. It wouldn't have made the movie like less. It wouldn't have made it less serious to have him in that spot.
No, that makes sense. I give it a 9. I think all the voices were great. In my opinion, I think that it's a lot of fun. I do understand where you're coming from. It is missing the can't miss iconicness that Pixar has at times as far as voice acting. But I honestly think that Chris Evans does a good enough job that, like, at times it didn't even really hit me that it wasn't Tim Allen. And I know that almost goes back on kind of a lot of things that I've said before about as far as Tom Hanks and Tim Allen being Buzz and Woody. But I think he obviously tried to emulate Tim Allen at times, you could tell. And what I find hilarious about the toy Buzz Lightyear now is that, you know how toys sometimes from movies have like cheap actors that don't actually sound like the main actor from the movie? That's essentially what Tim Allen is. He's the cheap actor that is not the one from the actual movie. So it's like a knockoff toy that doesn't even really have the main actor's voice, which is kind of funny to me. And so, John Ratzenberger quiz.
Dude, I have no idea.
He's not in it. I questioned whether to even do it, but I do want to have the conversation that I think he's just not in it anymore.
I think he's done. I think it at Soul he was done.
Yeah,
but I'm very curious as to what happened. It is really sad. It was such a fun running thing for Pixar for him to not be in it anymore. It's very, very odd.
For sure. All right, soundtrack. I don't remember any musical key from this movie. I keep trying to hear the music from this movie and I can't think of any. It may be great, but if I don't notice it, I'm not sure what to do with that. And so I gave it a 6. In my personal headcanon, that could go up at any point just because I literally don't remember any music from the movie. And so I can't really give it a good grade, but I'm sure it's great. It's Michael Giacchino. I'm sure it was awesome. I just can't remember any of it. So I've got to give it a 6.
Yeah, that's that's pretty much on par. I mean, that's pretty much all Giacchino stuff. He's a score guy. He's not like a song guy. Yeah. So it does what it's supposed to, and it doesn't really stand out. It's a 7 for me. And I think that this is like in our own lives kind of being a little bit affected, because for everybody, I don't even want to say it, but we just recently did a not quite Pixar movie where the music is incredible. I won't say the movie, but that's going to be, at least for me, like I watched that movie, the other movie a couple times recently, and that music is so good that it's kind of like making this even more be like, yeah, it doesn't stand out. It's good, but it doesn't stand out.
For sure. All right. Characters. What you got for characters?
Characters is a 10. The characters are incredible. They're all so much fun. Everything makes sense in terms of the way that the characters, what they do and why they do it. Buzz, old Buzz, is a good villain. I don't actually, like, I don't know what I wanted Zurg to be. It feels weird that it's Buzz, but I do like the villain, because his motivation is very good, but it's very selfish. And he's not evil. He's not trying to hurt anybody. He's actually just trying to save his name, basically, and make it look like he didn't make a mistake, because he's been living with this mistake for years, decades. And so, great villain. Buzz's growth is great, and Izzy's growth is some of my favorite, because it's incremental until it has to be monumental. And then she makes the one giant leap, and it's like game changing for her.
That might have been the most inspirational thing you have ever said in your whole entire life. Incremental to monumental might be my favorite thing that has ever happened in Lamp Stomp. Oh my gosh. I can't get over that, actually. You actually just made me bump up my score a little bit just because of that one phrase. I gave it a 9. A lot of the characters are a whole lot of fun. I always go the path that they go on, and I think Buzz's path in this movie is honestly so good. It's one of the best character stories that I think Pixar maybe even tells, just because you actually get to walk with Buzz the entire time. You understand why he's growing as he grows, and I think that's so important for a character like Buzz as well. And so very, very, very good. All right, humor. I gave it a 7. There's definitely some funny-ish moments throughout the movie, but it's not something that I laughed a whole lot. I think there were times, just because of the theater experience, that I laughed out loud. I can't think of any right now. I definitely think the meat sandwich bit was kind of funny, where they're like, wait, you actually had two pieces of bread? Like, what's that all about? and that whole thing is kind of funny. And there's definitely other socks, rather. I keep saying boots, but it's socks. I think it's because I'm thinking of Puss in Boots from Shrek. Socks definitely brings in some humorous moments throughout, but nothing that honestly stands the test of time. So I give it a 7.
That's very valid. I gave it an 8 because for me, the Easter eggs as they were happening, especially like all the Star Wars ones, they would make me chuckle a little bit. And so there were so many moments that were like, nice way to fit that in there. Like, there are so many just little things that I really enjoyed, and the humor in the movie, it's there. It's not all the time. Mo seems to be like supposed to be like kind of a driving force of the humor, and
yeah, for sure.
He's not that funny to me. It's not great, but there's a lot of humor, and I chuckled my way through the movie.
For sure. All right, what do you have for Easter eggs?
Easter eggs, I have a 7. Not like so much of the Pixar ones. Like, honestly, like, I didn't really notice many of them, but there were a lot of Star Wars ones that I was catching, and I was really enjoying those.
For sure. I give it a 7 as well. Nothing a whole lot sticks out. Obviously, the Toy Story references, things that the Toy Buzz says that are in the movie, were definitely a lot of fun. I did enjoy that all the robots, like the good guy robots, had the acronyms like WALL-E. And that was kind of a cool thing, Easter egg. I'm sure there are others that we just honestly didn't notice, and honestly can't notice in a lot of ways. Until we actually can watch it like in our homes. But I think it was decent. I really enjoyed all of the Toy Story references. And so I gave it a 7. All right, Josh. Ending. I gave the movie's ending a 10. I think that the way that they land this movie is honestly so cool. I didn't know what to expect. And then the twist ending of Zurg being Buzz, and just Buzz having to come to grips with the fact that he can't win this mission. He's not going to be able to complete the mission in the way that he thought he was going to be able to complete it. And just realizing that that is a thing for Buzz is a really cool way to end, and him coming to grips with that and being okay because of the people that he met along the way and the other characters, I think is a really ingenious way to kind of land this movie.
Yeah, I agree. It was really great. I gave it a 9. For a lot of the same reasons, the where the characters all land, how Buzz learns to accept the mistake that he made, because he sees how incredible of a world that's been created. He fully accepts it, and that he embraces the team and his growth to not just tolerate and be like appreciative of the rookies, but then to understand their importance and to want to continue to keep them under his wing, is such a cool moment, and it ends the movie really perfectly.
For sure. It's just a really cool movie. All right. Are you ready, Josh?
I'm ready.
So the rankings have come. I've tallied up our scores. This movie lands at an 87 for me and an 80 for you, bringing our Lamp Stomp score of 83.5. So let's see kind of where that ranks up. And you know what the craziest thing about this score becoming final?
That's all of Pixar's movies.
We officially have all of our Pixar movies ranked at this moment. All right. So for me,
not just to date, but like even announced, I don't think they've announced their next movie yet.
Elemental. They have announced their next movie.
Okay. That's right.
Hey, here's the name of it. Here's some concept art is all we have at this point. But it doesn't come out for a whole year. Pretty much this weekend next year is when it comes out. So, okay. So, my score of 87 lands the movie for me at 7th place, right below Toy Story, and in front of my logjam of Monsters, Inc., Finding Nemo, Cars, WALL-E. And so I really enjoy this movie. For you, it does a little bit worse, but still pretty good. It lands at 16th, right ahead of Ratatouille, in between Incredibles 2 and Ratatouille. Still pretty decent. And then for Lamp Stomp, it comes in at, I'm pretty sure, the exact middle. It comes in at 14th, right in between The Incredibles and Monsters University. So that is kind of funny that it is literally the exact middle of Pixar's lineup at the moment, which is a lot of fun. Dude, that's Lightyear. That's Pixar's making our mark. How does that make you feel that we're to that point?
Wow, man. We made it. And it's I think it fits there. And I think it's fun that we've got our final. Rolling it all out, what are our final top 10?
Our final top 10. Let me go back to the page for just a second. All right. So our final top 10 is Coco, Inside Out, Toy Story 3, Up, Toy Story 2, Finding Nemo, Monsters, Inc., Toy Story, Cars 3, and Soul is our top 10.
Nice.
That is interesting, for sure.
Yeah. There's good, great 10 movies.
For sure. All right. Why don't we go ahead and move on to Woody's Roundup? Josh, who is your favorite character from Lightyear?
I would like for you to go first.
I would love to go first.
I'm between two. And I gotta make sure they both get represented.
Socks is my favorite character from the movie. I thought he was going to be super annoying from the trailers, but he actually legitimately was fun, and he was a good piece of the movie. He actually brought things to the movie. I thought he was just going to kind of be comedic relief, but he actually helps with the plot. He actually cares for Buzz, and in a lot of ways is there for Buzz when he needs him. And so Sox is a good character, even though it's a cat.
Sox was my first choice, but and early on in the movie, I was like, Socks is easily my favorite. But then as the movie went on, Darby really grew on me.
Yeah.
And so it was like a toss up. Like, they've got to both be mentioned. I'm going to say Darby, probably Socks, but I'm going to say Darby because Darby was really fun. Really useful, like the most useful, maybe not the most, Izzy's pretty useful too, but Darby does a ton for this movie in a lot for the story, and the character is just really fun. And even all the way to the very end, being like, I still have a bad attitude. The way that it ends, Darby was a lot of fun.
For sure. All right, least favorite character, I put Old Bus. It was a good twist. Would not have seen that coming in a million years, and so definitely gets points there. But like you said, it's just kind of an odd goal for him to have. He's very self-centered, and I mean, he's the villain, so I guess that makes sense. It's just kind of a weird thing, so that's why I picked him.
Yeah, I thought about that, but then as the movie kept going, I just could not even for a second like anything about Mo.
Really?
Mo drove me insane the whole movie. That's interesting. Mo's the reason they get into trouble every single time. And his redeeming quality is that he has a pin. That's his only redeeming quality. It's so wet. Dude, he drives me insane. And at the very end, there is like a little bit of redeeming where Buzz is like, I was just like that. Like, I made mistakes constantly too. So there's hope for Mo to be better. But in this movie, Mo was just frustrating all the way through. And it was kind of going to be paired. Like, my favorite is Sox, and Mo almost killed Sox. And at that moment, I was like, I hate Mo. And it never got better. So.
All right. Why don't we move on to 22?
It is an honor having you prepare 22 for Earth.
I'm going to make you wish you never died.
All right, Josh, I have something very, very important to talk to you about.
Yeah.
There is a 0% chance that kids walked out of this movie in the Toy Story universe, like Andy included, and did not want a Sox action figure. Where were all the Sox action figures, Josh?
That's a great question. I had the same thought about the rest of the Rangers. Like, I'm like, come on. They had to, like, kids would have wanted an Izzy and a Darby, and no one would have wanted a Mo, but everybody would have wanted those two. Yeah, I don't know. I thought the same thing. I'm like, there's just lines and lines and lines in the store of Buzz, and that's how much, like, people just genuinely don't care at all about the other ones. Like, they're all very important in the story. I don't know. They should be there. Al only stalks Buzzes, I guess. I don't know.
I think actually someone there's a Pixar, someone high up, maybe even Angus McLean, but basically said that they were just all sold out.
That's a cheap answer. There's no way the main character doesn't sell out, but all the other side characters do.
Right. All right, Josh, what you got?
If you could go back in time,
okay,
not with their method, that doesn't work, but if you could go back in time with the same kind of idea that they have, there's generally the idea that, like, you can rewrite the past.
Sure.
Some time travel stuff assumes that you can't. Let's assume that you can rewrite the past and you can fix one mistake, and we're going to go, like, inconsequential. Like, it's not going to change the path of your life. What's, like, one little mistake you've made that, like, you wish you could go back and just erase it?
So, funny enough, when I was in college, I was getting my education degree, and then just some weirdness happened. Just lots of things that happened. So I changed my degree, and got a sociology degree instead, which is useless. Not really. I use it. But now I'm currently going back to get my master's in education. So I wish I wouldn't have changed back then, just had been a teacher this whole time, which would have taken away a lot of times that I've had at Coast to Coast. I never would have met you. And so, like, obviously, I don't know that I would have changed it, but that's the whole crux of this movie, honestly, which was kind of funny because when we got out of the movie, Carly looked at me and she was like, is it bad that, like, I kind of agreed with Old Buzz, and, like, I think they should have went back and say, like, she's like, I kind of agree with him, which is kind of funny. So the answer is I don't think I would go back, but if there was one, I would just have stuck with education because that's what I'm doing now anyway. So would have saved myself literally 9 years.
That's not inconsequential, Zach. I said inconsequential. Minor. That's a big thing, but that's a good choice. Mine's really little. I'm doing a lot of traveling right now for work. And 2 weeks ago, I was flying to New Jersey, but I had a layover in Orlando. And when I stopped in Orlando, I was like, I got this. I can find my way around an airport. No big deal. I just had my headphones in. I was kind of following the crowd. I'm like looking around. I'm like, all right, I've got to get over to like basically I have like an hour or so to get over to the other side of the airport and then I can go eat some food. And I was like, sweet. So I get off. I have to take a train. So I hop on this like train thing to go to the other side and I just kind of follow the crowd. And like the next thing I know, I'm out. I'm like in the main lobby of the airport outside of TSA. And I was like, oh my gosh. And so I had to get back in the TSA line and I like was running to get back to a different side of the airport because I went to the wrong side. I wasn't paying enough attention to like what the train had said where we were. And I just barely made it onto my flight and I didn't get to eat. So if I could, I would go back and I would have just paid more attention and I would have been able to get some good food.
But dude, that may have like butterfly effect that may have caused a ripple in the universe that would have been catastrophic. So I thought you said inconsequential. No, I'm kidding. all right. So I have a question about the movie making of this in universe. Do you think there's a Pixar in the universe who made this movie? Who do you think directed this movie in universe?
I watched an Easter egg video and the guy kept saying, I'm like, man, this is really good quality for 1995. Yes, yes.
yeah, hilarious. I think the person I went to go watch it was kind of made the same joke. Yeah, for sure.
I think everything. I think there's Pixar in Andy's world and that Andy probably loves Pixar movies. He's probably seen Toy Story. And
I think that college Andy Pixar or college Andy has a Pixar podcast.
Ooh, it's Toy Story. Is Toy Story his favorite movie?
No, Lightyear is.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So is Pixar basically the Lucasfilm of his?
Right. He basically has a Star Wars podcast.
I believe it. I believe it.
And to kind of expound on that, do you think there is an in-universe sequel to this movie?
I'm going to say no unless they come out with a sequel to this movie.
Okay.
Unless Pixar comes out with a sequel. I don't think so. Yes. Or a spinoff show. Because there's the Buzz in Toy Story 2 that's different. He has something different than this Buzz. So there has to be something that motivated them to have a new thing.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was the video game. It's the video game. He has the belt from the video game. Okay, so maybe.
Really good, strong statement there, Josh. A strong maybe.
No, yes, maybe.
And then my last part of this one is, do you think there will be a sequel in our universe?
No.
Okay.
I think they're done trying to tap the well of Toy Story.
I don't think that, but
you think they're gonna go with it? There'll be another one
potentially. The way they end it and then the post-credit scene I think is interesting. Movies don't have to go off those kinds of things, but I do think it's interesting that they put it in there. They definitely put themselves in like an out if they did want to.
They set themselves up to do another one
for sure.
So far it's not doing too great. So yeah. I think that if it doesn't get above if it doesn't hit high 80s, low 90s, and if it doesn't like double what their budget was, I don't think they do another.
I think it's really sad that we've been waiting for this moment for so long and a Jurassic Park movie was able to beat it out. Like it's kind of sad that it didn't bang as much as it needs to, which could mean, I don't know what it could mean with a Pixar movie not coming out for a whole nother year. It might not mean anything, but it's definitely interesting to look at. So Josh, real quick, before we go to our core memories, I wanted to kind of take a look at our life this podcast could be a hyperspace of sorts. When we started this podcast in January of 2021, our lives were very, very different. and Zoom now, I just kind of wanted to go over a few different things about our lives that are different, and you can add some to yours, but I think I've got a pretty good grasp on at least a few things that are different, in our lives. Okay. So in January of 2021, when we started this podcast, you had one kid. You now have two. I had zero kids. I now have one. And our oldest kids are like near, Emery's not quite like nearing two, but like on her way to being two, and Addie's well on her way to being two, which is crazy to even think about. So we both worked at Coast to Coast. Neither of us do that anymore. I've had two jobs since then. You have your new job that you're kind of working towards, which is awesome. I'm trying to think. Just lots of things in the last year and a half since we zoomed forward in light speed since this podcast started.
Yeah, it's been crazy. I remember I did Finding Dory, like a 3 or 4 month old Addie in a swing beside me. I was doing my Finding Dory recap, and she kept interrupting me.
That would have been Nemo.
That's what I meant to say. What did I say?
Dory.
My bad. Yeah. No, it was Nemo. Like, it was very early on. And now I've got another one just a little bit younger than that. So,
right.
Very
craziness. All right, Josh, why don't we move on to our core memories?
But the really important ones are over here. I don't want to get too technical, but these are called core memories.
Josh, what is your core memory for Lightyear?
My core memory is Izzy jumping through space, which is funny because she's not like my favorite character, but her growth is my favorite growth, because usually I don't like when movies just suddenly have a character change. But like I said with her, she just grows little by little. You see her make like small strides, and it's not like her character changes, but like she just becomes more courageous, and she becomes a better thinker, a better problem solver, a better space ranger. Right. And she makes small choices that aren't like that hard that grow her all the way until has to completely confront her biggest fear.
Yeah.
And she does it so well. And then she even like goes an extra step to try to save Socks in the moment when she's still like, still out in space, could still accidentally float away. She goes the extra step, to save her friend robot cat thing.
and honestly, I think that's a good scene for Socks as well, because he's like emotionally supporting her as well, just kind of like being there, like you're gonna have to face this, like Buzz is right there. Yeah. Essentially Socks is like, I'm there with you, like let's do this. And so I think that's a good scene for Izzy, but I also think it's pretty cool scene for Socks as well. This moment in the movie for me was the biggest smile, and I just could not let it go away. I was smiling throughout the movie at different times, but this literally just sent chills down my spine, and I had the biggest smile on my face. And it's when he's fighting Zurg out in space, and it literally is just, not today, Zurg. And he puts out the wings and he's just fighting Zurg, and it literally sent chills. I like just talking about it kind of sends chills down my spine. And so Not Today, Zurg for me is my core memory.
That was a great moment.
All right, Josh, that's Lightyear. And in turn, that is Pixar's catalog up until this moment.
We've done it. We did it.
We did it. Took a little bit longer than we anticipated, but it's okay.
Yeah.
Man, Pixar's a lot of fun, and we want to continue kind of diving into this world. And so you guys kind of know some of the things that we're going to be doing over the next little bit. We are not done with Pixar. We're going to continue to explore these characters and these universes. And so this is just the start of something new. I think we've told you a lot about our Not Quite Pixar series that we'll start pretty much as early as next week. But we've also got some character studies that we're going to be doing. We've recorded one character bracket, which was an intense, intense conversation. I can't wait for you guys to hear that and continue to hear more and more things that we have down the pipe. And so while this is the end of Pixar's lineup, we are just starting on all of our Pixar and related content, Josh.
Super excited. I actually kind of thought that we had been, I like went back into our podcast just now. I was like, have we really not released any of them? It felt like we've been, it feels like we should have, but I'm excited for us to start rolling them out.
For sure. Yeah. All right. That's it for Lightyear, unless you have anything else to say.
That's it, man.
I would totally play a Lightyear video game. Just saying, if anyone wants to do that.
Got to make sure you include that one level.
Right. All right, Josh, for Lamp Stomp, this has been Zach and Josh.
Peace.